I want you to get your Bible out this morning and turn to John chapter number 17. John chapter 17, once you arrive there, find verse number 12. The title of today's sermon is this, Set Apart. Set Apart. John chapter 17, verse number 12. We're going to take what to some is a confusing doctrine of the Bible. Don't ever let the term doctrine scare you. But we're going to take what is to some a confusing doctrine, and I think I will make it quite simple so you understand it. John chapter number 17, verse number 12, please stand with me. We'll do that out of reverence to the Word of God. Also, it'll help us that we might be more comfortable as we set for the rest of the sermon. John chapter 17, starting with verse 12, it says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Look back at me, if you will. There's a doctrine, you'll hear the word used from time to time. It's the word sanctification. Now, you say, that's a big word. That sounds real thick, gooey, religious. Okay. But that word has a very simple definition. Matter of fact, it is a three-part definition. I'm going to teach you, in very simple terms, the doctrine of sanctification. You say, oh, sounds boring. Well, probably not, because sanctification is a wonderful truth in the Bible. I call the sermon Set Apart. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, take that which could tend to be difficult in our minds and make it simple that we might live it. Not just know the word, but live the word. Bless us with thy presence. Spirit of God, still our minds and strengthen them. Help us to put everything out of our minds but the truth of the Bible at this time. Bless those in the other ministries as they function, but give us a good service here where we walk away having learned and able to apply what we learn to our everyday lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. If you were listening to what I just read, it said in John 17, verse number 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Here's what's happening. Jesus' earthly ministry is just about over in John chapter 17. All that is left is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Before he dies, he goes to the Father, and in his last few hours, Jesus makes a request. Right before going to heaven, he goes to God and he says, sanctify my people. Here's what happens. Jesus looks out into the future. He sees you. He sees me. This prayer, this request that he is making of God to sanctify my people, not just the people that was alive at that time that were Christians, but he was looking out at you and me and saying, those are my people, sanctify them. What did he mean by sanctify them? What does that mean? Well, he's near the Garden of Gethsemane. In the garden, he will pray so fervently that upon his brow, drops of sweat and blood will appear. Jesus has now lived, and with his people, he lived for 33 and a half years. He has seen through the eyes of a human body the temptation that we face. He's experienced religious corruption. He's watched Christians mingle with the world until you can't even tell which is the world and which is the Christian. Did you know that it was religious people that crucified him? It wasn't the lost people that crucified him. It was the religious people that crucified him. Now remember, 33 and a half years he had lived down here in a human body putting up with what you and I put up with. And right before he goes to heaven, he says, Dad, I got one last request before I leave. I hope you'll sanctify my people. Well, he had watched what happens to Christians in this life. He sees His people and their needs from an on-hands, on-the-spot view. No longer looking down from heaven, He had been here with us. He had walked where we had walked and been through what we had been through. He said, right before I leave, I want to make a last request. I'd like my people now, my people in the future, to be sanctified. And He says, Heavenly Father, please sanctify my people. It must have been important to Him. You know, usually people's last requests, you say, what, preacher, what do you think you'll make your last request? Probably be a Krispy Kreme donut. I'm not real sure. I thought about that, but they are pretty good when they're fresh. But Jesus, He said, sanctify my people. Now, I want to help you. I'm going to take the term sanctification, or that request, sanctify my people. I think sanctification is in kind of three parts. Please allow me to explain. Number one, sanctify means set apart from all else. Set apart from all else. Jesus is saying, Father, I pray that Walter York shall be set apart from the others. Or David Steed, I pray that he would be set apart from the others. Or Michael Armstrong, be set apart. Or a Jeanine Caldwell, set apart. Or a Jane Nossinger. Jesus was praying for you as a Christian, as an individual, and He was saying, I pray that those that trust me as Savior would then be set apart, sanctified as a Christian. I want all my people from this day forward not only to be saved, but I want them to be set apart. Now remember, when you hear the word sanctify, or you hear the term sanctification, its basic definition is set apart. Now stay with me as I help to describe that. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 3 says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. God said, I want some things set apart. Think a little bit with me, if you will. Under Jewish law, many things were sanctified. Many things were set apart. The tribe of Levi, there were 12 different tribes in the Hebrew children. One of them was a special tribe. That was the sanctified tribe. It was a tribe of Levi. Did you know that there was a family within the tribe of Levi that was set apart? If you looked at Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30, it said, out of 12 families, there's one family from which the priests are going to come. They were pulled out of the others. They were set apart. Then within that tribe, it was Aaron and his sons that were pulled out of that tribe to become priests. What happened? God reached down and said, there are 12 tribes. I'm going to pick one of them and set them out here for a special purpose. Then within that tribe, I'm going to pull a family out and set them out here for a special purpose. There was a certain tent in the Old Testament that was chosen above all the other tents. You say tent? Uh-huh. It's called the tabernacle. There were a lot of tents. I mean, you know, when they traveled while they were wandering in the wilderness, there were many, many tents. They lived in tents. They were nomads, basically. But there was one tent. It was called a tabernacle. God said, that tent right there, I'm going to take that tent, I'm going to set it out here. It's a special tent. It's different than all those other tents. There was an altar that was a special altar. It was called the altar of incense. Oh, there were a lot of altars, but He said, that one right there called the altar of incense, I'm going to take that one out of all the other altars, I'm going to put it inside that special tent. I'm going to make sure that special family, the priests, get that special altar, and they have that special tent. This is the way God's chosen to do it. There was a certain table used. There are a lot of tables in life. God said, but that table right there, I'm going to take that table in the Old Testament tabernacle, and that table is going to hold what is called the showbread. It was a special table. Why? God said, out of all those tables, I picked that table. I'm going to put that table in the tabernacle. That table is going to hold the bread that pictures the Word of God. There was a bunch of candlesticks back then. You know, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have an iPhone with a mechanism where you could slide bar up, push the button, and have your flashlight, which, by the way, I usually forget when I do that with mine to turn it off. If you ever see me walking around and my light's flashing on my phone, it's because I was somewhere dark not long ago and forgot to turn off my light. But I don't need to tell you this. You're a Bible scholar. They didn't have iPhones back in the day of Moses. They used candles. Well, there were a lot of candlesticks back then. But God said, that one candlestick right there, I'm going to take that candlestick and it's going into the tabernacle. It was sanctified. He reached down, moved it over here, set it apart. There were bowls that they used. At my house, I have my coffee cup. It's sanctified. Oh, come on now. How many of you have your coffee cup? Would you raise your hand, please? Okay, God bless you. Next time your wife goes for your cup, men say, wait, that's sanctified. That's set apart. I have Mrs. Owens and I, and her queenly throne is just as important as my king's throne, but we have a love seat. We started getting love seats a long time ago. We like to sit by each other and hold hands. We'll sit at home, and she sits on her side, and I sit on my side. She doesn't sit on my side. Say, why? It's sanctified. There are a lot of seats in our house, but that one's mine. It's sanctified. Some of you are going, oh, come on. Now, wait a minute. How many of you have a place where you sit at your house and it's kind of yours? Yeah. We don't switch which side of the bed we sleep on every week. You know, if I came in to get in bed and she was on my side, there'd be trouble in the house. I'd say, hey, get to your side of the bed. And though we all laugh, what was it? It's separated. In its own little way, it's got its own purpose, and we have deemed it important to us. If I would do that, and if you would do that, don't you think God does that? There were certain bullocks that were sanctified. What does that mean? God said, that bullock right there, I'm going to take that. There were a lot of bulls back then, right? God said, but that one, I'm taking it, I'm bringing it over here, and it is set apart. I took it from all the others, I put it over here for a special purpose. Lambs, some of you heard in the Old Testament, the lambs that they used for sacrifice when Jesus came, they said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But there were millions of sheep and lambs alive, but there were some that were sanctified. You say, wow, that's a big, powerful word. Well, what it meant is that God had a special purpose for it. He reached down in the midst of all of them. He picked it up. He moved it over here. He said, now that's sanctified. It's set apart. There were oils that were sanctified. There were doves that were sanctified. There were days that were sanctified. Just so you understand, in those days, there was the Sabbath, which was their Saturday, which Jesus in the New Testament made our Sunday. Can I tell you all something? Did you know that today is to be a sanctified day for the Christian? Sunday. You're supposed to be in church. Say, what's that mean? It's supposed to be different than all your other days. There's 365 days in a year, but 52 of them are Sundays, and God reaches down and said, I'm taking Sunday, and it's to come out of your routine, and I'm going to set it right over here, and you're not to do, hey, on Sunday, you're to give God what God wants and to be where God wants you to be. It's not supposed to be like the other days of your week. Why is that? It's sanctified. It's set aside. This chair, that's my chair. This was purchased at, what's the name of that? Pier 1. We bought this chair at Pier 1, right here in New Bern, made by a specific chair company. They've made thousands and thousands and thousands of these chairs. This chair is like all the other chairs made by this particular company sold by Pier 1. This chair, I picked it out. Matter of fact, I got it and loaded in the car, and please forgive me, but I told the chair, you're going to the church. I remember the day when I picked it up. We're going to the church. And if the chair could have talked, it would have said which church. I said Twin Rivers Baptist Church over on Trent Road, and it would have said, oh, fine. This is my chair. This chair was taken from Pier 1, pulled out of there, brought here, And for its own reason, it was sanctified. It was set apart. Now, there are other chairs like this. There are chairs like this in doctor's offices. There are chairs like this probably at dance halls or nightclubs. But this chair is different than all those chairs. You say, why? It was chosen to be brought to the church to fulfill a purpose. We picked this chair from thousands of chairs, but we pulled it out of those thousands and we set it apart. It's here now. You know what? This chair is sanctified. This chair right here, I trust it will never be used at an adult bookstore. You say, why? What? Church chair. It's my chair. And do you know that if you all came in here on a Sunday morning, and David Steed was up here leading singing, and he went over there and tried to sit on my chair, you'd all go, what's he doing? What's Steed doing in a preacher's chair? Why? Because you know it's set apart, don't you? It's set apart for a reason. The chair has been pulled out of the other chairs. It's got a different purpose. It's in a different place. It's used for something different. And God said, Jesus was getting ready to die, and he said, Father, I have one last request before I go, and it is that my people are sanctified. What did he mean? So there's going to be a lot of people out there, but mine, I want them taken from all those people, put in a place and in a situation where they're different. That's what Jesus prayed for you. This pulpit, some would call it a podium or a lectern. This, it's set apart. It's not in liberal college. This pulpit has never had anyone say evolution is true from it. No, it's set apart. This pulpit says that creation is the way that we came to be. This pulpit is set apart. It's never been used in a communist rally for socialism or heresy of all the people pulling together. Not at all. That this pulpit has never been in a liberal church that believes every Bible is the Word of God. No, not at all. This pulpit has never had anyone from it say, you're saved by your works. No, it's sanctified. It is set apart. These tables are sanctified. This church, we want this church set apart. This is not what they would call a liberal church. We don't use contemporary rock music in our church. These pews, they're set apart. We don't move them so we can have a dance down at the church. The carpet, set apart. Our PA system, it's set apart. You know, there are a lot of PA systems out there. Lots of PA systems. Ours is never used for a DJ. Just for right things. No liberal theologian has ever spoken on this PA to cause us to doubt the resurrection or the virgin birth. And God said, not only is that piano to be set apart, and this chair to be set apart, and those pews to be set apart, what's even more important than that? The people sitting in the pews are to be set apart. God doesn't want His people mixing and mingling with the world. We're to be kind to the world, and we have to live in the world, but we're not supposed to be like them. We're not supposed to blend in to the point that you can't tell what you are and who you are. That's what sanctification is. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Numbers 23:9 says, the people shall dwell alone and shall not reckon among the nations. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All of these are verses that are saying to us, be sanctified or be set apart. Be pulled out of everything else and moved, and let it be obvious you are not a part of that. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Isaiah 43:21 says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17a, or the first part of the verse says, come out from among them. What is that? That's sanctification. And part B says, touch not the unclean thing. What is that? Sanctification. 2 Peter 2:7 says, ye are a chosen generation. What is that? Sanctification. John 17:14 says, ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 15:19 says, I have chosen you out of the world. Jesus saved you. He said, now you're saved. But folks, you do understand that when somebody looks at you, they can't tell if you're saved. Salvation took place on the inside of you. He said, I not only want you to be saved, I want you to be sanctified. Now that you're saved, I want you to move over here and I want you to have a different purpose, a different cause, a different look. That's what he said. We sing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, for I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's a song that's basically talking to you about sanctification. We look forward to one day Jesus reaching down and those of us that are saved by way of the rapture or death taking us to heaven, where we'll be totally separated from the mess down here. But until we get totally separated from the mess down here and get to heaven, he said, now I want you the best you can to be separated from the mess down there while you're living there. Far too much of the church has gone to the world. And far too much of the world has come into the church. Did you know your eyes were made to see good, not bad? They're to be set apart. You say, well, everybody else is looking at it. God said, but I want your eyes to be set apart. Your eyes are not to look at what everybody else's eyes are looking at. You say, why? Because you're one of God's children, and he said, I pray that they will sanctify themselves. I pray that they will look at different things. You know, your hands are to touch good things, not bad things. They're to be set apart. Your feet are to go to good places, not bad places. Why? They're to be set apart. Your mind was made to think good things, not bad things. Let your mind be sanctified. Let it be set apart. You say, well, this is what everybody else is thinking. You're not supposed to think what everybody else is thinking. You're a Christian, and Jesus' prayer is that you wouldn't be like everybody else and act like everybody else and smell like everybody else and dress like everybody else and talk like everybody else. He said, I want you to be different. He said, they cannot see on the outside of you what I have done on the inside through your salvation. So I expect what is on the inside to come to the outside, and you separate yourself from what everybody else is doing, and I set you aside, and you're separate, and it's different. You're sanctified. And so some of you know, you need a church like this to preach this doctrine to you, because this is still in the Bible. The weak liberal churches are not preaching sanctification anymore. They'll say, we'll all just stay a part of it. We'll become like the rest of the world, and that's how we'll win them. Look, you're not going to win them that way anyway, but even if you could, God told you not to do it that way. He said, I want you sanctified. Your tongue was made to speak good, not bad. Why? It's set apart. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. The young people sing a verse, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. You know what that is? Sanctified. I'm leaving the world. I'm getting closer and closer to Jesus. I'm being pulled out of what everybody else is doing, and I'm going to be a little different because I belong to God. Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. This new contemporary Hollywood Christianity that's all over the place in some of the great big churches that anything goes, that's not sanctified. That's becoming like the world trying to reach the world, and Jesus said, I don't want you to be like the world, and I want you to try to reach the world. You say, but it makes sense to me to become like them if you want to reach them. The only thing is, this isn't up to you. It's up to God. We're to reach the world God's way. If you're a worldly Christian, you're not answering the prayer, sanctify them. Okay, so what does sanctified mean? Answer me. Set apart. Let me ask again, what does sanctified mean? It means what? Set apart. That's the first definition of sanctified. Number two, sanctified also includes the word serve. We are set apart to serve. So there's a reason why you're being set apart. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Listen to this very carefully. You were set apart not to be set apart. You were set apart to serve. Some people think, well, I set apart to be set apart. No, you were set apart to serve. Sanctification is not all about just being set apart. There's a second stage or a second purpose for sanctification. Some of you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm about as clean as a hound's tooth. You know, a hound's tooth is used to eat. You're not just supposed to be as clean as a hound's tooth. You're supposed to accomplish the purpose for which those teeth were created. Yeah, I have people who get in church and they'll get themselves all cleaned up and just sit there like a bump on a log and say, you know what, look at me. Yeah, you're a museum piece. But this isn't a museum, it's a people factory. We're supposed to be doing something. You weren't to be cleaned up to be cleaned up. You were to be cleaned up to be used. You were set apart to serve. You're not set apart to be set apart. This chair. Let me show you something. This chair right now, if I do this with it, you know, there's a problem. I have now taken my chair from its purpose. You say, well, this chair's not in a nightclub. Wonderful. But this chair isn't doing what it's supposed to do. You say, why? I can't sit in it. The chair was set apart, but it is not fulfilling its purpose, turned upside down in the aisleway. It has been taken away from its purpose. Now, it's not doing some things that it shouldn't be doing. It's not, though, doing what it ought to do. So, did you know something? If you're as clean as a hound tooth, but you're not doing anything for God, so what? You weren't set apart for no reason. You were set apart to serve. My chair could say, if chairs could talk, I'm a good chair. I live at the church. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. You were not created to just go down to the church. You were created for the preacher to sit in on the platform. You say, I'm a good chair. I'm not at a tavern or a bar and grill. I'm glad, Mr. Chair, that you're not at a tavern. I'm glad you're not at a bar and grill. And I'm glad you're down at the church, and I'm glad you're here all the time. But you weren't made just to not be in a tavern. And you were not made just to be down at the church. And you know what some of you think? You think that if you come to church, you fulfilled the purpose for your life. I'm very, very sorry. You come here so I can tell you to get out of here and go make something happen for God. You think you're doing a great thing for God because you came to church. And God said, I brought you here not because all I wanted out of you was just show up down at the feeding trough. I'm feeding you so that you can get the energy to go do something. You're not sanctified just because you show up at church. You're sanctified to serve. My chair could say, well, I'm a good chair. I'm not at a nightclub. And I'm glad, Mr. Chair, that you're not at a nightclub. And I don't want you in a nightclub. But you better get on your feet and do what you're supposed to do in this church service. Do you know that if you all came in here on a Sunday morning and my chair was right there and I had to stand over there during the service, somebody here, you would say, Somebody needs to get that chair put in its place. Matter of fact, there's some of you, you're bold enough, you'd come up here, grab that chair, and put it right there. And if someone said, what are you doing? So, well, that's what that chair's for. That chair is so that it can be used, and it doesn't make sense for it to be right there. Well, I wonder if God wants to come grab you and say, what in the world's wrong with you? You think you just come here and lay around and that's enough? You're not just to come here to be here. You're to come here to find out what you're supposed to do and then go do it. And until you're doing it, you're not doing what God expected out of you. Amen. It's called sanctification. Set apart. My chair was made for me to sit in it. Right now, it's in church, but it ain't no use to anybody. But watch this. My chair just said, whew, I'm glad to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Matter of fact, if chair could, it'd say all the blood had rushed to its head sitting right there anyway. Now it's fulfilling its purpose. But you know something? That wood came from a tree. That tree submitted to God. It was submitted to the hands of craftsmen. This is leather. You know where that comes from, right? Don't tell the animal activists I sit on leather. These elements did not just want to be in a tree or on a cow. They wanted to be used of God. They submitted. And if this chair's purpose in its creation was to set in the church house and to be used on the platform for the preaching of the Word of God, they are best fulfilled by doing that. God wants to set us apart from the world. We're set apart for service. We're not just to refrain from evil. We're to refrain from evil for the purpose of doing good. Jesus wanted to set apart. And always remember this. You are to be set apart, not for the sake of being set apart. There's a three-step process in sanctification. It is being set apart to serve. The tent, the tabernacle that was set apart from the other tents, was set apart. But it wasn't left out there to be left empty. It was set apart so the people could worship and praise and give sacrifice. That was its purpose. Had they set the tabernacle aside and took it and put it in a storage room and said, that tent right there is a special tent, and they packed it up and stuck it in a storage room and never used it, God would have said, I did not set it apart to be shoved off into a room and to do nothing. Set it up and use it. And that's exactly why God saved you. The altar was set apart from the other altars. The brazen altar? Why? It was to offer up offerings. There was an altar of incense. If there was no incense on the altar, then it was not totally set apart. It was not totally sanctified. The bowl or the laver was set apart. You say, what for? For the washing of the priest's hands. The golden candlestick. Look, if they went into the tabernacle and you had the golden candlestick there and it was there to give light so that they could worship God and all the candles were blown out, somebody walk in there and say, what's going on? And say, well, that's our special candles. But they're not lit. Yeah, but it's special, isn't it? Well, it's dark in here. Yeah, but aren't those special? Somebody say, idiot, light the candle. You know what God says? You think it's just all about you coming and getting yourself cleaned up and that's all there is to it? I cleaned you up to use you. Some of you are like nice candles, but never lit. The table of showbread was there. It was set apart. It was set apart to handle the showbread, which again could be Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm not sure that I understand the Old Testament exegesis of what that bread was. The altar of incense was there for a reason. Folks, the more set apart you are, the more God can use you in His service. You know, here's something that some of you are going to have to face. You say, I want to serve. Wait a minute. It was sanctify, then serve. You pull yourself out of the things of the world, then you're ready for service. You might say, well, there's a bunch of things I want to do around the church. Let me explain it to you. According to the Bible, you're working on your sanctification. That's pulling yourself away from the wrong. You then qualify yourself to help serve. These things were pulled out, then used. Some places say, we'll use you, and later on you can figure out how to pull out. That's not God's process. It's pull out, then be used. Christians should be sanctified. You should set apart. You should set apart your entertainments. You could better serve Him that way. You should set apart in your habits, because you can be better used of Him that way. You should be set apart in your language, because He can better use you that way. You can be set apart in your music, because He can better use you that way. You should be set apart in your associations and your dress and your behavior. You say, why? Because God said, Jesus was about to die, and He said, I've been living down there. And it says, it seems like they're acting like the world, and the world's acting like them. And He said, before I come to heaven, God, please help mine to be different, or to be sanctified, which meant set apart. He said, what I want to see happen is I want my people to get saved. I want to reach down after they get saved, and I would like them to set themselves apart from everything else, not just to be set apart. He said, we'll clean them up, and then we'll use them to serve. Sanctification, we talked about the first two parts. It is set apart at separation to serve. My chair, we bought it at, what's the name of that store again? Pier 1. Pier 1, you can see it's not my favorite store. It's not like Cabela's. When I sat in that chair, we brought it from Pier 1, so it was separated. It was set apart. Then when I use it, I sit in it. I use it. It has now been set apart and fulfilling the purpose of the set apart. It's being used. It's serving. But wait, it's not finished yet. My chair is not totally sanctified. I got it out of Pier 1 where all the other chairs were, and I begin using it. It's serving, but there's a third step, and this step won't take long, but stay with me. Third step of sanctification, that is. Sanctify means to then get with others who are sanctified. That's the third part. I am pulled out of a group, and I separate myself from that group. I begin to serve, but then I serve with others that are also being sanctified. Acts 13:2, it says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This is when Paul and Barnabas got together, and the Lord said, I'm going to take one, bring to another. They're going to serve together. Folks, I'll tell you, you won't be sanctified properly, you won't be used properly unless you start running with the right crowd. The way my chair can fulfill its purpose is to be with other chairs that are being used just like it. So I went to Pier 1, got my chair, brought it in here, and I said, ah, this is a nice chair. I'm going to use this. This chair is going to fulfill its purpose. And if chairs could talk, my chair looked over there and said, you know what, look at that. There's another chair that's been set apart. And my chair said to this chair, I pity you. The guy sitting in you weighs twice as much as the guy sitting in me. No, he probably didn't say that. But this chair said to that chair, said, you know what? I'm glad to see you. You know, we'll serve the same purpose. And them other chairs over at Pier 1 that are going to the nightclubs and going to the adult bookstores and everything, they don't have any idea. I'm glad there's somebody around here that believes the way I believe and we can serve together. That's the third step of sanctification. You're set apart to serve with others that are set apart to serve. And then this chair said, you know, spit all over the place. This chair looks out and says, you know what? Right there, look, right there. Right there's a piano bench. It's a setting device. Hi, piano bench. And the piano bench looks up and says, hi, chair. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we're here in the church serving together? And it looks out and says, look at all those pews. Wow, my chair is so happy. Hey, Mr. Pew, how are you?
Long and drawn out today.
How are you, Mr. Pew? And Mr. Pew says, I get to hold God's people. They come to church here. Hey, they're not. They don't drink. They don't smoke while they're sitting on the knees of this chair. Say, you know what? It's just like me. Hey, I found the place I'm supposed to be. My chair gets to sit with another chair on the same platform where the Word of God is preached. That's why you need to be the member of the right kind of a church. That's why you need to run with the right crowd. You were not set apart to serve with people in the world. You were set apart to serve with people that are set apart. Jesus said, sanctify them. You need to get the world out of you, get into a place of service, and then spend time with people that are getting out of the world and serving God. Folks, did you know God had a purpose for your life? And it's more than just to quit something. See, there's some of you, if you're not careful, you'll hear me throw a fit about drugs and drinking and immorality and all that, and you'll hate me. I hate this guy talking like that all the time. Well, I got news for you. You'll never get to doing what you're supposed to do until we get some of that out of you and get you serving God. And you were not created to just walk around and decide what you want to be and what you want to believe. God created you for a purpose. And as your pastor, it's my job to say to you, you were created for a purpose. God saved you. You now need to be sanctified as He requested so that you can serve Him. And you're not going to do that unless you start running with the right crowd, because your crowd's going to hold you back. We're not just to quit our bad. We're start serving and get with others that are doing good. My chair belongs with this chair that belongs with these seats. Did you know that separated, serving people are the happiest when they're with separated, serving people? There's nothing like being somewhere where the other people are separated from the world and serving God. And there's just, you say, wow, isn't this great? My chair is happiest with that chair being around. So my chair needs to hang around that chair. Separating and serving people are more productive people. They are definitely more productive when they're with productive people. Folks, watch your friendships. One thing that's going to hold some of you back from being the kind of Christian you need to be are your associations. You say, I come to church and I know I'm supposed to, but I feel a little bit out of place there. Why don't you make it so you feel out of place with all the other people you're running with and you feel comfortable here? Well, something wrong there, isn't there? That piano, sanctified. There are a lot of pianos out there. But that one was taken from all the other pianos and brought here. And it wasn't brought, you know something? If I took this piano and I shut this lid on these keys and you walked in and I said, how many of you ladies can play piano? And we've got probably about 7 or 8, 9 people in here that can play piano. But we never lifted that lid one time and we never played that piano. There's some of you that would sit out there and say, that is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. They've got 7 people that can play piano, but they never play a lick. And I said to you, but it's a nice piano. You'd say, it sure is. You would say, well, what's wrong with you? It's got a purpose. Right. But it's a nice piano. You'd say, let it play some music. I said, but it's a nice piano. You say, why don't you do something with it? Let me ask you this. Why don't you do something with you? Pop the lid off the keys and let God play a tune that would change the world through your life. We don't clean you up to clean you up. We clean you up so you're usable. And that the best way to stay that way is to get around other usable people. When I've watched Brother David, sometimes I've given an invitation. Brother David was up near this chair. I've watched him use it as an altar before. Wow. Makes it different, doesn't it? That piano, these lights, this building, the annex, all of it. What's its purpose? To be used. You'll find our church, we want every good thing possible to happen in our society, but we won't yoke up with everybody and everything to get it done. You say, why? Because we were set apart to serve and for a purpose. I won't have an Easter sunrise service with everybody in town where we can sit around and sing Kumbaya. Say, why? We believe a certain way and we have pulled ourselves away from false doctrines and churches that are not right with God. You say, but what if they want to go do something good? Then go let them do something good, and then we'll go do something good. But we are going to keep ourselves set apart. We're not trying to be rude. We're not trying to be antisocial. Matter of fact, check. We visit people in this town. I doubt that there is a church that visits as many people as we do. Every week after week after week, we go out and we talk to people and invite them to church. We're not antisocial. It is that we are not going to be like them to win them. We're going to be like Jesus, and then we'll try to win them. And they say, well, we're not going to be won that way. I guess then you won't be won, because it's a request of us that we are set apart. Now, if you're lost, you might have a hard time understanding the sermon. But I believe that probably even a lost person could understand what I just taught. God said, let me save you. I'm going to reach down. I want to get you out here, and you're supposed to be different. Then you're not different for the sake of being different, but you're different for the sake of serving. And the best way to get that done and to keep doing it is to be around others that are set apart and serving. So your associations help you with sanctification. I've taught you today the simplest way I know how. The doctrine of sanctification, three parts: set apart, serve, and proper association. That sanctifies us. That was Jesus' request of you. Now, will you let that prayer be answered in your life? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm saved, preacher. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. You may put your hand down. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I will pray for you. I will tell you this also, if you would like, during this altar call, we could have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. It's a simple thing to do. If during the altar call, if you raised your hand for salvation, and a couple did, if you step out and you walk toward the front, if you're a man, I'll have a man take a moment with you with the Bible. We won't embarrass you. We'll just have him take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a lady and you say, I'm not sure I'm saved, if you'll come toward the front, we'll have a lady take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You can settle it right now. But if you're not saved, you come during the altar call. How about Christians? Would there be a Christian here today that would say, you know what, preacher, I think there is some setting apart that needs to be done in my life. I think I see sanctification a little better than ever before. And God has spoken to my heart about this issue of being sanctified. And I'm going to work on it maybe a little extra. Could you raise your hand and say, I'm going to work on that? Yeah, lots of hands all over the building. Sure. You may put your hand down. If you need the altar, maybe somebody needs to come and say, you know what, I knew this, but I've just not been doing my part. I'm just like everybody else down at work or down at school. I mean, I look like them, act like them. Oh my, that's not sanctification. Maybe you need a moment at the altar. We're going to have an altar call. Here's what's going to happen in a moment. The pianist will begin to play and we'll stand. If you're a Christian and you just need to come and pray for a moment, you do. If you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you go to heaven, and if you'll make your way toward the aisle, I'll notice. I'm the only person that knows who raised their hands. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise that. But if you need to be saved and you step out, I'll have a man meet a man. I'll have a lady meet a lady. They will very, very gently and in an unembarrassing way take a moment and show you how to be saved, so when you leave here, you know you're born again. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Christian, do you need the altar? Need to come and say, I need to work on this sanctification thing a little bit. Are you not sure you're on your way to heaven? If that be the case, if you'll come, we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. My chair left the store and came to the church, and God said, first step taken care of. Then we had a church service, and I sat in that chair, and it began being used for its purpose. And God said, fantastic. Fantastic.